Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Margarita Bat Polina, Ron Ben Margarita, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Bat Sara, and Ruth Bat Sara. And to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Shifra Hoffman, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to discuss some alarming statistics out of Israel. The impact and influence of the feminist movement on Israel and feminist laws that have been passed and the influence of feminism on Israeli society, and the influence of anti-family groups in Israel, including the homosexuals, the feminists, all the destructive anti-family forces that are working against the Jewish family. They've had an impact in Israel, and we're going to discuss some of those alarming statistics. Let's start off by saying that as a result of the tremendous propaganda of the Israeli educational establishment and the tremendous propaganda efforts of the evil Israeli news media, the traitors in the Israeli news media, the traitors in the Israeli education establishment, and in the Israeli government, the Israeli politicians, all of whom are traitors. As a result of this, look at what is happening. Look at what is happening in Israel. In 2008, in the year 2008, there were 40,000 Jewish weddings in Israel. 40,000 weddings where Jewish couples got married. 2008. In 2019, even though you had a larger population by then, 11 years later, there were only 27,000 weddings, a reduction from 40,000 to 27,000 in 11 years. This steep decline, where people are not getting married anymore, where Jewish women are being convinced that you shouldn't get married, that you have to worry about your career, and where Jewish men are being taught to be selfish and only to think of themselves and not to think of the beauty of forming a Jewish family. This is one of the tremendous problems and challenges that we're facing in Israel, as in all other Western countries. Now, fortunately, in Israel, they still have a high birth rate, but that's because of the religious Jews in Israel. It's the religious Jews that have large families. And the religious Jews are now one-third of the Jewish population in Israel. And so when you have religious Jews, for instance, in Judea and Samaria, who have 10 children, eight children, 10 children, it's not uncommon for the Jews in Judea and Samaria. Or when you have Haredim, the religious Haredim, even within the pre-1967 borders, with families of 6, 8, 10 children. That's what's driving Israel's higher birth rate. Israel has a birth rate of 3.1 Jewish children per woman. In other words, there are 3.1 children are born to each Jewish woman in Israel right now. And 3.1 is substantially above the 2.1 that you need in order to replace the population, for population replacement, for the population not to decline. Just to have it neutral, just to have no decrease in population, you have to have at least 2.1 on average. On average, 2.1 children born to each woman. And in Israel, there are 3.1 Jewish children being born to each woman, again, because of the religious. But there is a war against religious Jews going on in Israel now, a propaganda war against them, to convince religious youth not to be religious anymore, and in some cases it's working. There are religious youth who are dropping out and giving up Judaism because they're being inundated by this endless propaganda in the Israeli army. The Israeli army is a very bad influence on Israeli youth. The Israeli educational system, a terrible influence. The Israeli media, all of it is working. All of these groups are working to destroy the Jewish character of Israel and to destroy Jewish family life in Israel. Excuse me. And just to show you what a distortion this is of reality in the propaganda that is promoted by these groups. Let's talk about the feminists right now. There are constant stories in Israel about husbands murdering their wives, beating their wives, raping. Constant stories about this in Israel. What the media fails to mention, though, is that almost all of these cases involve Arab, Muslim, or Arab Christian men beating or raping or abusing their women. In almost all of these cases, it's either Arab, Muslim, or Arab Christian men, or it's the non-Jewish Russian immigrants from Israel, who are hundreds of thousands of non-Jewish Russian Cossacks, who are the worst anti-Semites in the world, who murdered hundreds of thousands of Jews for hundreds of years in Russia and in Eastern Europe. These anti-Semitic Cossacks who have no connection to the Jewish people are being allowed to immigrate to Israel. Now, of course, we have well over a million Russian Jews who are complete, who are brothers and sisters, who are 100% Jewish according to Jewish halakha, according to Jewish law. They're our brothers and sisters. We love our Russian Jewish brothers and sisters. But the non-Jewish Russians who come to Israel, there are many non-Jewish Russians who come to Israel with no connection to the Jewish people at all. Forged and faked IDs and claims that they had a grandmother. Because under Jewish law, you're only Jewish if you have a Jewish mother, or if you convert al pi halacha, in accordance with Jewish law, if you undergo what's called giur, giur is the conversion process. Unless you go through a true Torah, true conversion process, or unless you were born of a Jewish mother, you're not Jewish. Even if you have a Jewish father and a non-Jewish mother, you're not Jewish. There's no such thing as half Jewish. You're not Jewish. But under Israeli law, under the evil law of the self-hating Jews that run Israel, if someone had a grandmother or a grandfather that they claim was Jewish, and in many of these cases these claims are bogus, all forged and fraudulent and completely bogus. But if someone claims they had a Jewish grandmother or a Jewish grandfather and they have some forged document and they present it to the Jewish agency in Moscow or in Leningrad now is St. Petersburg, we used to be called Leningrad when I was younger. If they present these documents, these non-Jewish Russian anti-Semites, they can get into Israel and pretend that they're Jewish under the law of return. I'm not allowed into Israel. Chaim ben Pesach. And my background is 100% Jewish. But I'm not allowed into Israel and barred from Israel for decades because I fought to bring our Jewish brothers and sisters from behind the Iron Curtain into the Jewish state, because I fought for the Jewish people and sacrificed and gave my life for the Jewish people. Spent years in prison and then many years on probation, parole, house arrest, facing all types of charges, and then decades of being rejected for Aliyah because of that. So I'm not allowed into Israel. Millions of Arabs that openly say they want to destroy Israel, they're welcome in there. They're Israeli citizens. They're sitting in the Israeli Knesset praising Arab terrorism. And hundreds of thousands of Russian Cossack Nazis who are part of a people that slaughtered hundreds of thousands of Jews. Hundreds of thousands of Jews were slaughtered the past several hundred years in Russia. There were huge massacres of Jews, gigantic massacres of Jews. And these same Cossack Nazi Jew haters, they come in with some forged documents saying their grandmother was Jewish or their grandfather was Jewish, or some other obviously forged nonsensical document. By the way, even if it's true, they're not Jewish. They have no right to be in the Jewish state, and they should stay in Russia. Because Jewish law is very clear. You either convert according to halakha, or you have a Jewish mother. Otherwise, you're not part of the Jewish people. But these Russian Cossacks, who claim to have some distant relative from the past, they're allowed, they're admitted into Israel. And then we find out that they have Nazi swastikas and Nazi tattoos on them, and that they're anti-Semites, that they form an anti-Semitic Russian, they tried to form an anti-Semitic Russian political party in Israel. And one of the characteristics of these people is that most of them are alcoholic. Most Russian men, most Russian non-Jewish men are alcoholics. Most. And I'm deliberately using that term, most. The majority of Russian men drink at least 5 bottles of vodka a week. That's alcoholism. That's a sick person. And I mean the tremendous amount of alcohol, of alcoholic behavior, and then some of them, and then some, of course many of them don't want alcohol. The next generation, they turn to drugs, so they become drug addicts, and many of them are criminals, and they commit terrible acts of violence. Those Russian Cossack men who are not Jewish and their wives are not Jewish, they do murder and rape and beat their women. They are brutal toward their women. And so there are many incidents of people who have Russian names. And the average Israeli hearing this on television when it's on the news that this Russian guy murdered his wife, the average Israeli doesn't really know, was this a Jew or a Gentile? What, you know, Russian name. And they deliberately keep it vague and deliberately because they want you to think that this is a serious problem among Jewish men as well. Well, let's see if it's a serious problem among Jewish men. In the year 2020, the last year for which there were statistics reported, the year 2020, right? Last year. Out of 7 million Israeli Jews, there's 7 million Jews in Israel. You know how many Jewish women were murdered by their husbands? By their Jewish husbands. Jewish women and Jewish men. I'm not talking about Jewish women who were married to Arabs or were married. That's a different story. But I'm talking about Jewish women murdered by their Jewish husbands. So in other words, it's a Jewish problem, an issue among Jews. Out of 7 million Jews, 3 Jewish women were murdered by their Jewish husbands. 3 Jewish women. Now, of course, even one woman being murdered is a terrible tragedy, a horrific crime, and something that we should be very upset about and concerned about. But this is not exactly a common occurrence. This is a very rare occurrence. Out of in a population of 7 million people, when 3 Jewish women are victimized this way, this is not some frequent occurrence. You'd never know that, though, from the Israeli media and Israeli movies and Israeli television and Israeli television programs and the Israeli educational system and then a wave of dozens and dozens of feminazi laws that are passing the Israeli Knesset, the Israeli parliament, based on this lie that where Jews are being convinced that among the Jewish men also are murdering and brutalizing their wives, which is complete baloney. It's very rare and unusual. 3 Jewish women were murdered by their husbands in 2020. 3 Jewish women. Hundreds! In the same year, 2020, hundreds of Arab women were murdered by their husbands. Hundreds! Even though the Arab population in Israel is smaller than the Jewish population. And dozens of Russian non-Jewish women were murdered by their husbands, even though there are only a few hundred thousand, only, it's unfortunate that there are any. But even though there are out of a few hundred thousand Russian non-Jews in Israel, dozens of Russian non-Jewish women have been murdered by their husbands. Were murdered by their husbands last year, and hundreds of Arab women were murdered by their husbands last year. Versus 3 Jewish women being murdered in a population of 7 million Jews. So this is a serious problem in Israel, but not a Jewish problem. This is a problem of our enemies. Our enemies are cruel, evil people who murder their own wives, who rape their own daughters, who are brutal beasts, whose children murder you see cases of the son murdering his mother and murdering his father and murdering his own family, wiping out his own family. This is not something that happened. This is extremely rare that this happens among Jews, despite the assimilation and all the other attempts to brainwash Jews and turn them into the same type of cruel, heartless people that our enemies are, despite the attempts of the self-hating Jews in the Jewish establishment and in the Israeli establishment. Nevertheless, this is not a serious and commonplace phenomenon among Jews. It's a very rare occurrence among Jews. And again, any Jewish woman who is murdered or any Jewish woman who was raped, this is a terrible tragedy for the Jewish people. There's no question about it. But to base all your laws and all your rules on a situation where 3 Jewish women were murdered out of a population of 7 million because you're brainwashing people into thinking that it's much more than that, that it's hundreds, and it's a very severe problem that we have here. That is an obscenity. And this is the type of lying and propaganda and brainwashing that goes on with the feminazis, which, by the way, do the same thing in the United States and in Europe and in all other countries. The feminazi propaganda machine is an evil machine run by men-hating lesbians who have a very evil agenda and a destructive agenda, and we see the destructive effects. Number of weddings in Israel among Jews went down from 40,000 in 2008 to 27,000 in 2019. Very, very terrible statistics. I mean, we're going to come to the point where non-religious Jewish women are going to stop having babies in Israel if we continue, just like white women in America, for the most part, don't, you know, very few the birth rate in America among white women is very, very low, and among Jewish women in America, very low. The same thing in Europe among white women and among Jewish women in Europe, very, very low. We're going to have that same crisis among non-religious Jewish women in Israel, if we allow this to go unchallenged. It can't go unchallenged. Somebody has to have the guts to stand up and tell the truth about what's going on in this situation. And of course, none of the politicians have the guts to do this, because they'll be accused of being sexist. And if they go against the homosexual sodomite agenda, they're accused of being homophobes. So, of course, we have this. This creates a very serious crisis, and we see the destructive effects on the Jewish family and Jewish family life in Israel. The growth, the Jewish population growth rate, which is a positive thing, again, primarily because of the religious Jews, the huge growth rate among religious Jews. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Ken yirbu means it should only be more, should only multiply even more. That's a wonderful thing. And for that reason, by the way, the majority of Jewish children in Israel now come from religious homes, because the religious Jews have such a high birth rate. So the future of Israel is going to be a religious future, Baruch Hashem, thank God. But still, we want all Jewish women, we want Jewish women to get married, we want Jewish women to have children and families, and we want Jewish family life for all of our fellow Jews, unless they're Jewish traitors, unless they're complete traitors. And by the way, just to give you an illustration of who these feminazis are, an example of these feminazis, probably the most prominent one now is a cabinet minister. She was a member of the Knesset. She's a cabinet minister. She's the head of the Israeli left-wing Labor Party. And her name is Merav Michaeli. Yimach shma v'zichra shem reshaim yirkav. She's the granddaughter of Rudolf Kastner, Yimach shmo v'zichro shem reshaim yirkav, who was the head of the Judenrat during the Holocaust in Hungary. The Judenrat were Jews who were appointed to help the Germans facilitate the Holocaust. Kastner, you have to read books like Perfidy by Ben Hecht to see exactly, and Child of a Century by Ben Hecht, you'll see exactly what Kastner did to help the German SS, to assist them in murdering hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews, went to Auschwitz and other death camps and were brutally burned and gassed and murdered and experimented on because of Kastner. He enthusiastically assisted and used all types of ingenious ways to convince the Jews of Hungary to cooperate and go to the Nazi concentration camps and not to resist. He was the best tool the Nazis ever found. And then when he came to Israel, David Ben-Gurion and all the traitors that became the leaders of Israel, they defended him. They defended him. They thought, well, you know, because they collaborated also and they were supporting him also. Yes, the leaders of Israel were collaborators with the Judenrat and with the Nazi SS during the Holocaust. Again, read books like Perfidy by Ben Hecht, Child of a Century by Ben Hecht. You'll see it's all documented very clearly in those books. There's no question that that's what took place. And Rudolf Kastner's granddaughter is now the extreme left-wing member of the Israeli Knesset, and not only that, she's actually an Israeli minister now. And she's the head of a major political party, the Israeli Labor Party. Our beloved Rabbi, Harav Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik, Bekadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. Our beloved Rabbi Kahana, may God avenge his blood, saved the lives of over 1.5 million Russian Jews. Actually, 2 million Russian Jews in the end were saved, were brought out of Russia. Probably 1.5 million went to Israel and 500,000 to the United States. We're sorry they're in the United States. We wanted them all to go to Israel. But in any event, 2 million Jews were brought out of Russia because of Rabbi Kahana. He saved millions of Jewish lives. He was the greatest Jewish leader in modern Jewish history. And he was banned from running for the Knesset. And his party was outlawed because he told the truth to the Jewish people. And then he was murdered in cold blood by Arab terrorists from Al-Qaeda because he didn't have the protection he would have had if he had been a Knesset member. And his followers, like myself, I ran his organization, the Jewish Defense League, here in the United States. I was his right-hand man in America during the peak of the Soviet Jewry campaign that we led. I'm not even allowed to set foot in Israel. He was banned from running for the Knesset. His party was outlawed. I'm not allowed to set foot in Israel. But this, and his grandson, Meir Ettinger, another Jewish hero, and another wonderful Torah scholar and Jewish hero, his grandson, Meir Ettinger, was thrown in prison and kept in prison for months under administrative detention laws, where in Israel you can be put in prison with no charges, you never see a judge, you have no charges, nothing. They just put you in prison because they feel like it. It's called administrative detention. You don't have no right to trial, no right to see a judge, no right to a lawyer, nothing. Administrative detention. Meir Ettinger spent months in prison under that law solely because of his political beliefs. Solely because of his political beliefs. Because he believes in the type of things I'm talking about now, I'm speaking about now on this program. That's illegal in Israel. I'm banned from stepping foot in Israel. Rabbi Kahana's grandson was thrown in jail just because of his political beliefs, without having the right of a trial or see a judge or any other rights. Rabbi Kahana himself was banned and murdered in the end. This is the Israeli establishment. But who is welcomed and considered and wonderful, and everybody praises her and everybody's friends with her, including Itamar Ben-Gvir, by the way, Itamar Ben-Gvir, who pretends to be a Kahanist. He's friends with Merav Michaeli. He would never say to her, "I have nothing to do with you. You defend your grandfather who has the blood of hundreds of thousands of Hungarian Jews on their hands. You're a Nazi war criminal. Your family are Nazi war criminals." This is what he should say, and what Rabbi Kahana would say. But instead, he's friends with all the evil people, and so he's allowed to be in the Knesset, Itamar Ben-Gvir, because he's a phony. He's a pseudo-Kahanist. He's part of the controlled opposition. And the phony right in Israel, all phonies, no right, there is no real right wing in Israel. They allow all the evil people to have all the power and to conduct a campaign to do everything they can to brainwash and hurt Jews and turn Jews away from anything Jewish. Everything bad that you can imagine, every bad influence you can imagine, they're trying to put in the heads of Jewish kids and influence Jews negatively. When they run the army, they brainwash Jewish soldiers with left-wing, evil, anti-Jewish propaganda. And in the Israeli school system, that's the way the whole establishment operates. And you don't believe in God? These are the people ruling Israel, and the Jews still survive with leaders like this? The Jews should have disappeared a long time ago with leaders like this. You would think they would have disappeared a long time ago, God forbid. And the Jews survived thousands of years with the whole world trying to destroy them against impossible odds in every generation? And you don't believe in God? Anyway, that is the type of evil we have in Israel today. From the feminazis, from the so-called gays. The gays. They go around to schools and tell five-year-old boys, "Wouldn't you rather be a girl?" They're allowed in the school system, and they're allowed to give lectures to kindergarten kids, to first graders, on how wonderful it is to be gay. I mean, this is These people are so evil. They are the definition of evil. They're worse than our worst. The worst Gentile anti-Semites are not as bad as these people in terms of the impact they have on Jewish survival and on the Jewish people. That's what we're trying to fight against. We're trying to save the Jewish people. One of the things they want to do is create a so-called Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria and Jerusalem, which would put Israel within boundaries that are 6 to 9 miles wide. That's why we support the Hilltop Youth. We're the only, would you believe we're the only organization that gives regular funding to the Hilltop, that funds the Hilltop Youth? We're the only organization that does that. It's a scandal. It's just a scandal. And I'm going to be telling you, hopefully in future programs, some of the things we're doing for them. But it's really outrageous. And so, we're trying to bring the truth to the people of Israel. We're trying to fight against these terrible evil leaders that no one else is fighting against. We're trying to stand up for the truth that no one else is willing to stand up against. And we're doing it, of course, against overwhelming odds. But we are reaching people to a certain degree, and we are helping the Hilltop Youth on their strategic hilltops in Judea and Samaria, which is an obstacle to creating a so-called Palestinian state. Even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. It's a historical fabrication. But we're doing everything we can to help them, and we're doing everything we can to fight the good fight. All the good, positive things happening in Israel, JTF has a hand in a lot of those very good, positive things. And we're very proud of that, and you should be very proud of it as JTFers. If you agree that we've got to bring the message to as many Jews as possible, we need as much funding as possible, we need as much help from you as possible in order to bring this message to the people of Israel, in order to fund the Jews in Judea and Samaria, the Hilltop Youth in Judea and Samaria, who are dependent upon us. They need a tractor, a used tractor, for one of their settlements. Very, very important, essential to them. I mean, they have women, 21, 22-year-old women with babies who live without running water and without electricity in this day and age. What magnificent human beings living on remote hilltops because they don't want the land to go to the Arabs, devoting their whole life to the land of Israel. You don't think these are holy people? These are the greatest Jews of our generation. This is the hope of our generation, Jewish youth like this. That's what JTF supports. The other Jewish organizations, including so-called Orthodox Jewish organizations, they support the UJA and the Federation and others who support all the evil things we've been speaking about on this program. And believe me, that is what they support. So, we're going to continue our fight. We don't have billions of dollars, and we don't control the Israeli establishment. The only thing we're armed with is our faith in Hashem, and with wonderful, magnificent Jewish idealists, idealistic Jewish youth, who are putting their lives on the line to fight for the land of Israel. They're putting their lives on the line. The least you can do is put your name on the line of a check or a money order or whatever it is to help us. That's very important. That's something people should do. And you should be promoting JTF. Promote us. Promote our English campaign. I know most of you don't speak Hebrew. If you speak Hebrew, promote our Hebrew campaign. But if you don't speak Hebrew, promote our English campaign. Because if we have more English supporters, we'll have the ability to better fund and better support and back up the Jewish heroes and the Jewish idealists in Israel. We need your support. We need to work together. We need your prayers. We need to fight together to make this a better world. Because if we work together as a team, we can change Jewish history. We can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.